The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
So, Donald,
we look good.
Yeah, we do look good. So, Donald Trump and Tony Curry have something in common today.
What? It's your birthday?
We both surrendered ourselves to Atlanta County prison.
Why did you? I'm changing this. I'm sorry.
Wait. Why would you think? 1990.
What? Oh, no. On this day. But for you,
no, we just have we both have something in common. That both Donald Trump and I have both surrendered ourselves to Atlanta County for.
Yes.
I'm not surrendering today.
That's what I thought.
No, I'm just saying that I've surrendered in the past.
This is terrible. I'm so sorry.
I thought you had this all ready to go.
I did, but it...
It looks fine. Leave it alone.
No, I did not really... No, I thought you... Today, you were like... You were about to break some news.
No, my surrendering days are over. I'm not surrendering anymore.
Well, you surrender to Ohio.
You surrender
to a higher source because it's better to do that.
Yes, when you surrender to God, there are no handcuffs.
Donald Trump is the only... I'm going to do this with no shame. Donald Trump is the only person I know who can surrender frequently, and it becomes somehow... Well, I guess celebrities do it.
Great. Any promotion is good promotion, right? He's taken his celebritydom and his political... And he's just mashed it all up together. And I think it's absolutely hilarious. I know this is going to drive you crazy. I think it's just absolutely hilarious because right now he can do no wrong if you're a Donald Trump supporter. And right now he's leading the polls by 25%. He doesn't have to show up for his own debates.
Right.
And this what he's doing today is so perfect because everyone wants to talk about what happened last night, which, by the way, I watched some of it. It was ridiculous.
I can't watch it. It's not just the GOP. It's, you know what it is? And all the debates are this way. They're cringy.
Yeah.
Right? Did you have this where you
You know what it is?
Huh?
You have a family of nine. You have nine brothers and sisters.
Right.
And you have one brother who has done incredibly well for himself and is untouchable. And then you have the eight siblings who are all younger. And they're like, you know what? Dad's about ready to die. We're going to have a meeting and we're going to decide what we're going to do with all of his assets. And they're all sitting around, but the one that's the most important isn't there and it doesn't matter. And they're all bickering. Well, I want the chest of drawers. Well, I'm going to take his cufflinks and I'm going to do this. And he's sitting in there in some other country and it has no bearing on what's going to happen. And I think that's hilarious because I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. And I'm sitting there watching the show last night. Like, everything you're saying right now doesn't mean anything. It's not going to have anything to do with it. And then what's really funny, and we don't talk a lot of politics in the show, but it's hilarious. What's really funny is the people who want to support him, but can't support him because they're running against him. But if you're not supporting him, then there's no chance in hell that you're going to get nominated
Right, which
everyone's in this really soft area. Like, I want to say the right things about him, but I also want to tell him he's wrong about some things. They're screwed. I don't even know why they had a debate last night. If you're conservative, you're sitting there watching, you're going, I don't even know why we're doing this. No one's talking about it today. We just had eight people last night with a debate, and no one's talking. It wasn't even the top five stories on NPR this morning.
No.
They're talking about the Russian dude who got killed in the plane crash. They're talking about the heat advisory. And somewhere like after the Cincinnati Reds score last night, they're talking about...
Because of what you just said.
Our politics are...
A, there's nothing to say because nothing happened. B, the bigger thing, I guess, is that he's going to surrender in Fulton County. I mean, I guess.
No, and why is he doing it today? It's the day after the debate.
I know.
It's perfect.
I read an article in The Atlantic yesterday about the title was basically why are Americans, why have we become so mean to each other?
Yeah.
Right. And it's I send it to you. It's pretty intense in terms of lots of philosophy and religion and psychology. And it's really trying to get at what happened. And, you know, everybody wants to sort of. Not everybody want to blame sort of Donald Trump, kind of rip the Band-Aid off sort of thing. But what's really interesting about it is it talks about we've lost our morals.
Yeah.
We've lost the sort of moral emphasis. But what's also interesting, and it's where we are, you now can't say morals without either pissing someone off, encroaching, like what is, you know, is morals religion in schools? Is morals anti-abortion? Is morals treating each other kind with kindness?
I don't think at our core, at our heart, I don't think we've lost our morals at all. I just think we're being pushed to tolerate more things that we believe are immoral.
Oh, no. No, no, because they're talking about
morals. Like, literally, we're having to put up with a lot more crap right now.
But wait, what you just see what you just did? You just deflected it.
I know.
We are planning to put up a lot more crap. Well, it's our crap.
Well, I know, but you just said
it's our crap.
You just said we are losing our morals.
We are.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is we have gotten
and,
to the point.
And when I say we, I'm talking about I think we have a pretty good moralistic barometer of what goes on in our lives, and we're being forced to, much like last night, and much like a former president who's had to check himself in.
Well, that's,
I mean, this is historical.
Well, and this is kind of what that's what the article is talking about. It's like we have lost.
You're a psychologist. You know about being desensitized. We've been desensitized. We've been beat over the head so many times with it that it's no big deal when there's school shooting of 18 kids.
What is concerning is what are we teaching our kids? Because what are they watching? You know, and it depends on the age of your kids. I mean, my kids at 22 and 24, they're eye rolling now.
Oh, yeah.
They're like,
my 11-year-old's eye rolling.
At us.
Yeah.
At us. And what you hope, and what I hope, and I think it's going that way, I think we're going to have to die off.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to die off, and the next group's going to have to.
I hate to be a teacher right now.
Well, they were talking about it.
God, I love teachers.
They're all quitting.
I love teachers, and I think there's a special place for teachers and firefighters and police officers and people in our armed forces. But our teachers, man, what they're having to deal with right now, God love them.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not. You don't get into teaching to be rich.
No, but
and you got to be expected much like your daughter. You get into a profession because you love it and you're passionate about it. But people that are super passionate about teaching children or helping special needs kids or whatever, they're even like, I can't do this anymore because my passion for this project is going away because I'm being forced to do something that I don't want to do. And that's really unfortunate. So anyway, all right, that's enough for politics. We're going to be on Fox 6 this morning at 9:35.
Are you going to cry?
Come
on, you might.
Do you want me to cry on Fox 6? I can. I mean, I know exactly what's going to tip me off.
Really?
You know, it's
funny.
Well,
tell me what's going to
tip me off.
Because I'm going to try all kinds of things.
Like when you drop Max off.
Oh,
now, Max was in Oxford, right?
So yeah, but I've dropped him off.
50,000.
But I also dropped him off in St. Louis. We did. We've done two drop-offs.
Yeah. And you were like, and I was like, it's a new chapter. You're like, no, it's a new book.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? And you're like, it's not about looking at his bedroom and crying and realizing because he's still alive, he's still here, and you can still see. And I told him, I said, and you see your child a lot more than a lot of people would, even if they were going to Alabama. You see your boy a lot. And when you do, you spend a lot of time with him, which is great. I love that. And I hope I have that same thing. But I mean, it's like the birth of a child. It's so normal. Yes. To drop your kid off at Clemson.
Yes.
Or drop them off at school, their first child. It's so normal, but it's so specifically special to your situation.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting there talking about, and people are like, dude, there's 100,000 other people that are dropping their kids off.
And here's the difference. Or here's the similarity. I always say this with becoming a parent. The day before you become a parent, and granted, we're not the ones having babies, but the day before you become a parent, your life is one way.
Yeah.
The second the baby is born, your life is completely changed. And if you think about it, like there's literally nothing in between. The millisecond that the baby's born, change. Okay. Dropping your kids off to college, it is kind of the same way, particularly obviously if they're not living at home.
Would you say dropping your kid off to college has a little bit of a feeling of first day of school, kindergarten?
Exactly. But the difference is,
because they're gone for the day.
They've been
around you for 4 years.
Yes.
And
that's why you cry. Yeah. That's why. But the difference is, so you worry in kind of the same way. It's like dropping them off and we put our kids on the bus for the first day. And they were crying. We were crying. But here's the difference. You just dropped your kid off and your child no longer, they're not coming back. They're not coming back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. It's not like them, you know, for a lot of kids who do live at home, it is a significant change, but it's not quite the same way because they go to school and they come and live in your room.
So what I'm struggling with is how much emotion do I show my son? So I got an 18-year-old son.
I thought you'd be on TV.
No. Well, that too.
Like, you're going to have to keep
your So my 18-year-old son, Santo, who's been on the radio with me for years. He did sports radio with me. He's been unbelievable. So he went to Clemson. Don't hold that against him. That's another thing we can talk about. All of a sudden, I got to start rooting for Clemson. It's incredibly difficult to
root
for.
That's a thing.
I'm 57 years old, and all of a sudden, I have to start rooting for a team that I've never rooted for in my life. It's really bizarre. Anyway, so he had his first day of college yesterday. He checked in last Saturday. We moved him in. So I want him to know, and he's a very emotionally attached kid.
Yes,
he's got some anxiety. So I wanted to know how much I miss him, but I also don't want to show him too much how much I miss him because I'm like, you got this. It's all good.
Yes.
Go get him, Tiger. I'm here for you if you need me.
There you go.
But hugging him, I was like, not ready to ball my eyeballs.
You can't.
But I couldn't let him see that.
You can't.
Yeah.
So when we dropped, both kids, but forget the Europe thing. We dropped one kid in Charleston, one kid in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was me and Jules.
That's right. I keep forgetting.
Yeah. So it was me and Jules.
Well, he went to Wash U,
It was me and Jules. I'm crying the entire way to go drop them off. I'm crying through unpacking. I'm crying. And my wife, who is the kindest, gentlest, sweetest person, but she has got Irish Catholic grit.
Yeah.
But more importantly, and she said this to me, she said, we've raised them well. I know they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I still was bawling like crazy.
Well, sure.
But I was trying to hold it in. And I think this is so important. Your child is going through so much. They don't need anything more from you other than exactly
think
what
about
you say.
Yeah.
They don't need.
Well, and that's the thing. The last thing I need my son is thinking, I hope dad's okay.
That's I'm
thinking that. I'm like, if my son's like worried about me, then I've done something wrong. You know,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
That is exactly how you have to do it.
Now, we haven't talked every day. I've texted him. I hope you have a great day at college.
Perfect.
He is coming home next Thursday for the UAB football game.
Fine. Right.
So I'm like, see you in a week.
That is, you're doing it.
But I'm letting him know that I'm here for him if he needs me. But
you don't want to let him know every single day.
But it is pissing me off a little bit that he doesn't need me that much right now.
No.
A little bit.
You don't know that he doesn't need you.
No, I think he needs me, but he's also doing incredibly well, and I am so happy that he's.
Well, he's also.
Sorry, Dad. I was meeting with a bunch of guys. We're trying to figure out where to go to church on Sunday. Sorry, I didn't get back to
you. But I'm going to also tell you something.
Yeah.
This is not to burst your bubble, but I learned this from both my kids, maybe almost 4 years into undergraduate. I didn't even know this until they were almost graduating.
Yeah.
They would send messages like, we're doing great. I'm doing this. I'm doing this club. It's all good. And then we had conversations as they both graduated about how they cried themselves to sleep every night.
Yeah.
This is 4 years later.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're kidding. You cried yourself to sleep and you didn't tell me about it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, that's what I did. So my point is he's doing great. But that includes some struggle that we don't need to poke that bear.
No, they'll leave him alone. All right, Curry and Claypool, we're going to be on Fox 6 this morning on Good Day Alabama, or Good Day Extra, I guess it's called.
It's Good Day Extra.
10 o'clock. By the way, starting on Monday, you're also going to see me. Now, you're on with Claire Huddleston.
Right? I'm on Claire on Thursday.
So, and then we do the Thursday thing. And so now I'm going to be on Mondays for Music Mondays with
Right. Oh, my God.
We're going to start that this coming Monday.
Wait, so you're on Mondays and Thursdays.
Yes.
And I'm on Thursday morning, afternoon, and late afternoon.
And unbeknownst to Fox 6, I'm also starting a TV show on ABC 3340 from 10.
You will not be seeing us. You will not be seeing you.
10:30 to 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. We're going to be doing a show on Saturday mornings. It is a paid program, by the way. But it's going to be 30 minutes about college football. Butts up against the first ACC game of the year, which, of course, is Virginia and Tennessee. So it's going to be coming up on September 2nd. We start doing that next week. So.
But it's not – we'll tell your friends at Fox, it's not Tony Curry doing that.
Yeah.
It's Terry Connolly.
And since you're watching this clip, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be talking about on my first Music Mondays coming up on Fox 6 next week. Coming up on the other side. We're going to take a short break back in 30 seconds.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.